Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
He kōna e purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi and welcome to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower bonus episode. I'm James Nokise and joining me is clinical psychologist Saab Jahal.
Kia ora, James.
Kia ora, brother. I want to talk to you about something very dear to my heart, needing validation. What other dangers, my friend? I'm a stand-up comic, a performer, now a podcaster. What are the dangers of needing, not wanting, but needing validation?
Yeah, so there is that kind of different level of need that people have for approval from others. Mm. Okay, and often it's about, you know, people have a fear of not being liked. And I guess one of the things there is to understand that actually what makes you likable to some people may actually be a complete turn off to others.
I try not to read the comment section.
And so I guess if you think about that ink blot, right, the ink blot test, you may have seen it in like books and movies and stuff, right? Mm. But people see different stuff in that ink blot. You may see a butterfly, another person might see a mermaid or a death angel or whatever it is that they see there. But it's not about the ink blot, which is you, right? It's about what the other person brings to that interaction too. So whether a person likes you or not says probably more about them than it does about you.
Right. Because it can feel when you don't have the sense of validation. I mean, sometimes you have a small sense of validation, but it's not the sense that you were after. I think sometimes performers and athletes kind of feel in that same mentality. And you kind of feel like the world must hate you then. Like, it can be quite binary to use the language that you sometimes use as, you know, like it's either everyone loves me or everyone hates me.
Yeah. And I think that that's true. That's the danger is that if you get into this kind of performing for likes, often what we have to understand is that people tend to like people who are like themselves. So sometimes it's like likes like, right? So what we have to then do is to ask ourselves, who are we performing in order to get likes? And are we comfortable doing that the whole time? Because where is your authentic self then? Mm. You know, is that a genuine like that people are having for you, or is it who you're performing to be? And I guess then this is really about untangling your sense of self-worth and who it is that you are from being liked by other people. Because I guess it stems from, can you actually like and be satisfied with who it is that you are being, and being comfortable with the fact that actually that's not going to be everybody's cup of tea all the time?
I think one of the most important lessons you learn when you spend long enough in a performance industry is that sometimes you're the bad guy. And I wonder if that ties into self-worth of, is it something that we all need to learn? Is that sometimes, no matter what we do in a situation, a person might view us as the bad guy, and if we have our own strong sense of who we are, it makes that easier?
Yeah, I think that that is something that we possibly do need to come to terms with. But I think also there's another category of people. Mm. So yeah, there's people who like you, and there's the people for whom you're going to be the bad guy. But there's a whole slew of people perhaps who are fairly neutral about you.
Oh, no.
But what we can do if we're constantly looking for the likes is that we misinterpret this neutrality. It was like, I actually haven't made up my mind yet. It's not that I don't like you or I hate you. It's just I haven't seen enough of you yet, right? Is that we can misinterpret that neutrality for negativity if we're looking for it, right? So that blank look on someone's face, we can misinterpret as this person doesn't like me, is actually they're kind of like slightly bemused or confused, or I don't have enough information yet, right? So that, again, that's something that we perhaps have to look out for, is that we have this negativity bias. We're looking for the dislike because we're so desperate for the like.
And what can we do about that?
I think it's difficult if we have that need to be liked that seems to be inbuilt. And that can come from many, many different places. But I guess it's partly around reinforcing the idea that actually, who is it to be you? And what is it that you want to do? And figuring out and being true to what it is that you would like to do, rather than being positioned by what you think everybody else wants you to do or who they want you to be. And so the better that you can have a support network, perhaps, of people around you who are able to know the inside you, not the performative you that you perhaps show to a lot of people, but actually the true you and who like you for being you. But that takes a place of vulnerability. That takes a risk for you to be able to do that. And it can feel really quite unsafe for many people. So to pick the people who you show yourself to in the early stages wisely. And you may make mistakes, but try not to take it too badly to heart and try and do that in as safe a way as possible.
I think one of the interesting things about you saying vulnerability is that, and I can only speak to my personal experience, is that people who I've met who have found it easier to talk about their mental health journeys and their mental health vulnerability have often been the quieter people, the people who you would look at and go, oh, that person might be vulnerable. Whereas the big, bold, brash people, big personalities, you know, real dominates a room kind of, when they need help, they've actually struggled to be able to ask because it doesn't seem to go with who people perceive them. What can someone who's listening to this, who is that big, bold person, that life of the party, what can they do to make sure that they can get some help too?
It can be very difficult in that position. You know, it's this idea that, you know, perhaps you think that people only know you for this personality, this bold you who's in the outside. And it can feel like, well, if I change that, if I'm changed for who I'm known for being, then that feels threatening to my sense of identity, which then becomes a challenge in itself. But it can also feel like if you have this kind of a hidden inner life, that you're kind of almost like leading dual lives. And I know many people speak about that, this idea of like, well, I'm this person here, but actually I'm a very, very different kind of a person when I'm in private. And I guess recognizing that perhaps that's a split, a duality that you have, but within your trusted inner circle, then you do have good relationships where you can be truthful and honest about how this is making you feel. Maybe you do have a public persona that you're vested in and that there is an expectation that you're going to be doing this. But finding a trusted inner circle that you can be who you truly are outside of your public persona, I think then becomes really pivotal for people's well-being.
And within that trusted circle, is it understanding that they are seeing the true you, or is it understanding that they are seeing the vulnerable part of you? Because maybe part of the true you is also the big, loud part.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you would have to do then, I think, is really to claim ownership of all of you and see that as one facet of you that may be for consumption or that you are with a different audience. Like, I wouldn't use the language that I use with my friends in the pub with my parents.
Right.
Okay? We all do it.
Yeah.
But in different stages and in different levels. Okay? And this is almost like doing the same. But recognizing that actually the sorts of conversations that I might have with my partner, again, may be very different, and the vulnerability I show there may be very different to what I might show in the pub or to my parents. We all do this to lesser or greater extents. But it's about claiming ownership and an awareness of what we're doing in these situations and understanding that actually it doesn't affect our true sense of self-worth. Just because people value me for this kind of like outward big persona doesn't mean that that's the totality of me. And often people are kind of like having this conversation internally, if only they knew the true me. That is part of the true you, but it's not the totality of you.
I think that's a real important difference, as to understand is that the totality and the truth. Thank you very much, clinical psychologist Saab Jahl.
Kia ora, Jane.
Kia ora.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.